Reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. He ends the reading, and I'll pass it over to Pastor Winston, who will be preaching to us.
All right. In case you don't know me, I am Winston, and it's my privilege to be one of the pastors here at CCC. If you're new to church, we are in the middle of a series called The Generosity Project. And I've got to admit that I'm kind of like a little bit uncomfortable talking about this topic because I feel kind of unworthy, to be honest. Like I feel when I examine my own life, I could be a lot more generous. I'm very, So I've been praying that I'm learning even as I preach to you. So please don't hear that I'm sort of talking at you. I'm like trying to preach to myself at the same time, all right? But we need prayer, don't we, to be transformed by God. So let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would come and help us and give us your Spirit, Lord. Help us to search our own hearts, to examine what it's truly like. And Lord, I pray that your word will act like a mirror to all of us so that we would see ourselves truly. We would be able to see whether we are truly generous or not, or whether there are things that are hindering our generosity. Help us to see them truly, Lord. And please give us your Spirit that we might have the power to change, to do something about it, Lord, to not leave it as is, Lord. So we just, please help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start off by asking you to think about someone whose actions made a real positive material change in your life. Can you think of anybody like that? I'm not talking about someone who, you know, maybe like gave you a pay rise that you really deserved anyway. I'm not talking about someone who shouted you a coffee because you're going to get one anyway as well. But somebody whose actions were so like profound. They gave so generously that it impacted your life and it changed your life and made you think, you know what? That is different. I can be like that. I can be better. I can be more generous in how I live my life. Can you think of someone like that? Maybe you do. Maybe you do have someone in mind, and maybe they didn't even know that they had that sort of an impact on you. But this person, they gave themselves to help you along in your life, in your journey. Put your hand up if you want to, if you have someone in mind that did that for you. Anyone? There's a few. If those few people who have that sort of a person in your life, then yeah, you probably like, when you think of them, your heart is smiling, right? It's going, wow, that that I always feel happy when I think about that person. They made such an impact on my life. I've got such gratitude for what they did for me. But to be honest, like, I think not many of us have that sort of a person, because in general, human beings are not really like that. We're kind of selfish, self-seeking. We think about ourselves more than we think about others. And we're going to have an honest look at ourselves this morning. But what I really want us to remember this morning is that there is someone who gave themselves for you to make an impact in your life, to change it forever, drastically. Not just some sort of abstract sort of example, or, you know, some sort of hypothetical lesson, but someone who actually did something for you, who made a real change in your life by what he did for you, what he gave to you, and that, of course, is Jesus. So we're going to think about that this morning as well. So let's please open your Bibles, Philippians 2, to the passage that Victor read for us. And we're going to think about the whole topic of generosity through this passage. But firstly, I want us to be a bit careful in when we approach a topic and we pick a passage, and it can easily take it out of context. I don't want to do that. We're talking about generosity, and this passage does have a lot to say about generosity. But I want to be careful we don't strip away the context of what it's saying here. And really what Paul is first talking about in this passage is the idea of unity. So in verse 1, he's saying to the Philippian church, if you are united with Christ, then verse 2, you ought to be united with each other. So that is pretty much the main subject of what Paul is saying here in the opening verses of chapter 2. And so one thing I really want us to understand this morning is that unity in our relationships has a lot to do with what goes on in our minds. Because Paul uses the word mind, if you notice, as if you're reading along, he uses the word mind three times in this opening passages. So verse 2, he says, be like-minded. He also says, be of one mind. And then in verse 5, you look further down, he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, if we are united with Christ, if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves people who follow Jesus, then we ought to be united with one another. And if we want to be united as a community, then there is a way of thinking that we ought to share. We ought to have the same mind as one, have one mind. And so how we think, our mindset, our attitude ought to be the same as that of Christ Jesus. This is the key, Paul says, to unity. For us to have the same mindset. If we don't have the same mindset, then we'll tend to be divided. Thinking in the same way. What is the way? It is the same way as Jesus. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That is the key to unity. And his thinking, this is where it fits under generosity. His thinking is a very generous sort of thinking. The mind of Christ is a very generous mind. And that is what we ought to have as well. He thinks in a way, as I said earlier, like no other person has ever lived. We tend to be selfish and self-centered, but not Jesus. He thinks like no other. Now, before we look at the way Jesus thinks, it's important for us to, as I wanted to do, is have a humble look at ourselves. Now, why do we often struggle to be generous? Why do we find it sometimes hard to be generous? When I think about how most of us operate, we tend to be calculating. We tend to weigh things up. You know, is this worth it? If I give you this, or if I do this, what is the benefit back to me? What is the return back to me? Am I going to get something out of this if I give this? We tend to think that way, don't we? And I don't just mean money or material things, but even with our time, our energy, our love, if we give it, what's the return? If we can measure the return and we value what we might get back, then we'll put that time, energy, whatever it is into it, right? But here lies the problem. It's about us, isn't it? We struggle to be generous. And if we're honest, all of us tend to be selfish, self-centered, self-seeking. And what drives much of what we do is what Paul says in verse 3. Selfish ambition and vain conceit. The pursuit of our own gain, our own glory, our own pleasure. Most of us spend and keep much more than we give. And our hearts are quick to justify, like, why we sometimes limit our giving. Oh, I've got a mortgage. I can't afford to give that much. That feels expensive when I weigh it up with my mortgage. But do you see how we're often so easily just do that sort of thinking? Our mindset has become self-seeking, self-centered, pursuing our own goals. But Jesus, he thinks differently. He's got a different mindset. So let's have a look, particularly verses 6 to 8. I'm going to read that again for us. Verses 6 to 8. This is how Jesus thinks. Verse 6. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So how does Jesus think? What's his mindset? And there are three aspects of the mind of Christ that I want to highlight for us. His motivation, his position, and his action. So let's think about motivation. What motivates you to do what you do? And how does it shape how you relate with others, give to others? When I think about my motivation, it's often about me. Me, me, me. It's what I want to do. It's what I want to achieve. It's about what I want to have. About what I want to become. And that often dictates what I do and shapes how I relate with the world around me do relationships. Starts with myself. Very selfish place to start. And it's amazing how easy I sometimes get irritated when I want to do something, whether it's work or play or watching NBA basketball or something, and I hear something, something, dishes. Something, something, clothes need hanging. And if I'm preoccupied, then I'm quick to get irritated, right? On my good days, I might, be happy and wash the dishes and hang the clothes. But often I find myself irritated because I've come from a selfish perspective. And we are inherently selfish. Our sinful nature is selfish. And in those moments, it's me, myself, I. But notice the motivation of Jesus. What does he care about? What's his motivation? He didn't come to be served, but to serve others. He became a servant, we're told in verse 7. He took on the very nature of a servant. His motivation wasn't self-seeking, but his motivation was selfless. He came to serve, to become a servant. His focus wasn't inward. His focus was outward. He didn't come to serve himself, to bring himself glory, but to serve us. And we're told in verse 8, he served us even to the point of death. He came to serve humanity, to give of himself completely for our sake. You know, it's easier to love those who love us or the people that we like. We tend to find it easy to give and be generous to them because, you know, we like them and we tend to get something back. So your family, you know, give my son some love. He's going to give me some love back. My wife, the same thing. But what about those that you find hard to love? Those that don't deserve love. In fact, they deserve the opposite. And that's the sort of love and generosity and giving which Jesus gives. He loves us when we didn't deserve his love. He died for us when we didn't deserve it. So friends, I think this is probably the key point, right, for all of us to take away today, is really to feel the weight of how much God loves you. There's nothing more important to take away today. Just feel the weight of that. Because if you really have experienced God's love, if it means something to you, then it should change your life. It should change how you live. It should change your definition of what it means to be generous. Because Christ's generosity has come and impacted your life so that your life is never the same. He gave himself up for you so that you can have a new life. And the Apostle Paul says that we ought to have the same mindset as Jesus. Give like Jesus. Love like Jesus. Serve like Jesus. Share like Jesus. Think outwardly like Jesus. Secondly, consider the mindset of position. How he thinks about position. We're told that he was in very nature God. He was God himself. And yet he didn't demand to be treated as God, we're told. He didn't use it to his advantage. He didn't demand to be respected or to be worshipped as he deserved to be, but he lowered himself, he humbled himself, he became a man, an ordinary human being, like one of us, to serve us. And even as the crowds like screamed, "Crucify him, crucify him," he didn't take hold of the power and the authority that he had as God and say, "This is enough. What are you doing here? Stop this. I'm innocent." No, he humbled himself, became a man. He says, "I will serve you, my humanity now, and I will die on a cross for you." That's how Jesus thought about position here. And I think often when we think about our position, it's often so different, isn't it? We're not humble like Jesus. Well, at least I can say that for myself. I'm often so proud. I think I deserve this and that. I deserve to be respected. I deserve to be treated in this way and that way. And it's the opposite of what Paul is saying. This is how Jesus is thinking. He is the opposite. He was God himself, and he just lowered himself and said, I will humble myself to that degree for you. And that's how he thought about position. How do you think about your position? How you want to be treated, respected? And I think sometimes, because of how you want to be in front of others and have the respect that we want in front of others, that might impact how we give, how we are generous, because we want to look like this, we want to have this in front of other people. Instead, Jesus gave himself, gave all of himself, he gave everything for us. How do you think about your position? And finally, let's consider the action of Jesus. It wasn't just the intentional action of going from God and becoming human for the sake of humanity. That is great and awesome already. But his generosity was ultimately shown on the cross, wasn't it? That was the action. That was the level of love and generosity that he gave. When you think about the mindset of Jesus, I came to give it all for you, to die for you, to save you, for you, instead of for me. We often throw around the phrase sacrificial giving, but what does it really mean to give sacrificially? What does it mean to give sacrificially when it comes to your money? When it comes to your possessions, when it comes to your time, your energy, what does it mean to give sacrificially? Well, consider how Jesus gave himself, how he sacrificed, how he endured pain, humiliation, injustice, because he loved us. He wanted to save us. He gave us his very best so we could receive the very best. Is that how you give? Well, actually, that's not how most of us give, right? I mean, think about, I don't want to say how you guys calculate, but I've done this, maybe you've done this. When you think about how much you give in your offering, and you go, oh, let me work out a budget. I earn this amount, and I'll take away some tax. You know, this is what I've got left over. I've got to pay the mortgage, pay for this, pay for that, bills, that, and then you work out, okay, this is what I've got left over, and you think about giving in that sort of a fashion, right? Now, I'm not saying it's not good to budget, it's not important, but do you see the starting space, how we start thinking about giving? It's like, what do we have left over, and that's how we think about it, right? Well, let's flip it and say, let it not start with me. Let's start with God. How much God loves me and how I ought to respond. How he's loved me and how I want to love others. How I want to love God. When I look out in the crowd here, and I'm really grateful for many of you, actually, as a pastor, because I see, like, some of you really like giving very sacrificially, and I'm really grateful, because often see you, so many meetings and training sessions Saturday mornings, and you give so you give up stuff, you give up fun Saturday mornings to be at things so that you can get trained up to be a better leader, to serve better. You go to meetings to be more organized, to work and to do the ministry. You give of yourself. And so as a pastor, I'm really grateful to see that happening. And even like, AV and the music team and all those that come early on a Sunday morning to practice, and to set things up and just to give us a time where we can worship together and just drawn to God. So just, like, you give, you sacrifice. I'm so grateful. So thank you so much for all that you do. And that is the mindset that we ought to have, to give sacrificially, to give up so that others can benefit, so others can gain from what we give. So how can we have the mindset of Christ? How can we give in a way that looks like the way God gave to us? How can we imitate Christ and take on the same mindset when it comes to our motivation, our position, and our actions? Well, there's no easy answer. But often we start with, I've got to do better. I've got to do more. I've got to give more. Right? And hopefully, you're not, hopefully I haven't said that too much, but I want to correct that now. Like, that's not the starting point. Do more, give more, be more. That's not where it starts. Where it starts is how much do you feel God's love for you? That's where it starts. You want to think about generosity? Think about God's generosity to you. That's where it starts. And so the homework, if you like, my encouragement to you, my exhortation to you this week is to find some time. Not to ask, Lord, what more do you want me to give or to do? But spend some serious time to think about God's love for you and how much does it weigh on your heart. And that should shape everything about who you are and what you do and how you think about every single decision in your life, including like how much money to put in the plate. That's only one aspect of your giving, but everything. That's the starting point. So I encourage you, spend a morning, spend an evening or something, and really like weigh that up in your life. What does God mean for you that he would send his son Jesus to die on a cross for you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example of Jesus and the way that he thought, and we pray that we would think like him, that we would be motivated to give like him, to love like him, to serve like him. Forgive us, Lord, because we confess we tend to be selfish. We tend to sometimes be stingy with our money, our time, our things. We confess, God, there are times when we tend to be greedy. Lord, forgive us. Help us to see what's happening in our hearts, Lord. And help us, Lord, to really know, experience, and feel how much you love us and how you've demonstrated that for us through Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.